Unit 10. Marketing. 10.2. Advertisements and commercials. Step A.
What do you think of this advertisement?
I quite like it.
Yes. Yes, so do I. It makes the product seem sort of likeable, doesn't it?
Well, it's an advertisement for three products, really. Hotel and restaurant guides, guidebooks of places to see, and maps.
I like the way the nice pale colours catch your attention. And the smiling Michelin man looking straight at you. It makes you want to step into the countryside, even though it's only a drawing. It has a nostalgic, old-fashioned look. And that makes you interested in reading the text.
That's right, yes. And when you read the text, you find the selling points of each of the three products.
Mm.
Makes them all seem very desirable.
The message is, make sure it's a Michelin. Which means next time you're thinking of buying a map or a guidebook, you should think of Michelin products.
What kind of people is this message directed at, do you think?
Well, I suppose motorists and tourists. People who stay in hotels or eat in restaurants.
Yes. And what seems to be the unique selling proposition of the products, according to the ad?
It's actually different for each product. The red guides list more hotels and restaurants than their competitors.
Yes.
The green guides use a star system to rate places of interest. And the maps are updated every year, unlike their competitors, we're supposed to think.
Yes, but it also says that the three products are cross-referenced, which means they can be used together easily. They're a sort of package. I'd say that was the USP.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
And that's the end of 10.2, Step A. 10.3. Promoting products and brands. Step B. You'll hear part of a lecture about brand names.
Now, on the subject of brand names, English names are often used in foreign countries to make products sound more international. But this doesn't always work. Take, for example, portable radios. There's the Party Centre, the Concert Boy, the Party Boy, and the Yacht Boy. These are all marketed in the UK under those names, but they do sound a bit silly to British ears, don't they? Many foreign brand names just don't sound quite right in Britain. Here are a few examples of brand names which would have to be changed if they wanted to sell the products on the British market. Pocari Sweat, that's a drink for sports people. And Cowpiss Pshit and Sick, these are drinks which sound quite disgusting in English. Bum, that's a brand of bubblegum. There's Mother, a brand of biscuits. Bimbo, and that's a brand of bread. Another strange name is Häagen-Dazs Ice Cream. This brand name was invented in the USA. It's supposed to have a European quality sound and look, but it doesn't actually mean anything in any language. Still, it's the most popular luxury brand in Britain, despite the fact that no one can spell it correctly. And not all British brands sound right in other countries. There are two Irish whiskey liqueurs you can buy in the UK, Irish Cream and Irish Mist. The latter wouldn't sell in Germany, where the word mist means manure. And how about the Nissan cars, Cedric and Gloria? Those English first names sound so unglamorous that neither of them could be sold in the UK under those brand names. But having said that, a good product can succeed, even if the name does sound a tiny bit strange. Look at Japanese cars. You've got the Nissan Bluebird, the Daihatsu Applause, the Honda Accord, the Toyota Carina, all very successful in the UK. By the way, I've always been puzzled by how many Japanese cars have an R or L in their name. There's the Toyota Previa, the Nissan Micra, the Toyota Corolla, the Nissan Primera. Most Japanese cars I can think of have an R or an L in their name, even though many Japanese people pronounce the sounds R and L the same. An exception is the four-wheel drive Mitsubishi Shogun, as it's called in the UK. But in most countries, it's called a Pajero, except in Spanish-speaking countries, where that word is very rude. Indeed. There, the same car is the Ranchero. Many international car names have been invented specially. They don't mean anything in any language, but They're just supposed to sound attractive. Most of the brands I've already mentioned are invented words. And some more examples of these on sale in the UK are the Ford Mondeo, the Toyota Celica, and the Citroën Xantia. But sometimes they may have to change the brand name to make it acceptable in different countries. In Europe, General Motors cars are marketed under the Opel brand name. In Britain, these cars are Vauxhalls, a name that most Europeans find very hard to pronounce. But there's a definite trend to create European brands. The Opel Kadett used to be called the Astra in the UK. Now it's the Astra all over Europe. And here in Britain, the Vauxhall Nova has taken on the European brand name Corsa. In Spanish and Italian, Nova means it doesn't go, which wouldn't have been a suitable name for a reliable small car. And in the USA, they have a car called the Rabbit, a sort of light-hearted, amusing image, hasn't it? That's what we call the VW Golf, because consumers here seem to prefer a more serious, sporty image. A fashionable product like computer software has to have a marketable and a memorable brand name. And as more products are developed, increasingly meaningless new names have to be invented, which nobody else has thought of before. Computer software products on sale in the UK often have brand names consisting of two words without a space between them. So instead of being called PageMaker, the product is called PageMaker, with a capital M in the middle. Then there's WordPerfect, with a capital P in the middle, and Quark Express, with capital X and capital P in the middle. But Microsoft Word is two words, and there are no capitals in the middle anyway. Now, having said all that, what I'd like you to do is to think of some foreign brand names that you think are unsuitable for the market in your country. Get together with a colleague, and you've got 3 minutes to make notes. Okay?
And that's the end of 10.3 Step B. 10.4. Possibility, probability, and certainty. Step A.
You'll hear Mrs. Frost finding out from her staff about a sales campaign in Canada. Notice how certain each member of staff is about each of the points she raises. I'll explain how the first is done for you as an example.
First of all, what about the sales literature we said we'd send to Toronto? Alan?
I'm not altogether sure whether the literature's been sent yet.
So Alan wasn't sure. According to him, it was possible.
Betty? The literature must have been sent on Friday afternoon.
Betty was sure. According to her, it was certain.
Christian?
I very much doubt if the literature was sent at all.
Christian was doubtful. According to him, it was unlikely.
Diana?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was all sent on Friday without Christian noticing.
Eric?
It couldn't possibly have been sent. We didn't get it from the printers till Thursday.
And Diana thought it was likely, and Eric thought it was impossible. Now do the same yourself. Ready?
Now, how about our new sales drive in Canada? Is it going to succeed? Alan, what do you think?
Well, in my opinion, it probably isn't going to go well.
Betty?
Oh, I'm absolutely certain it'll work.
Christian?
It couldn't possibly succeed. We haven't done enough field work.
Diana?
There's a chance it'll succeed. It may or it may not. Hard to tell, really.
Eric?
I don't really know. It's not really my area.
Now, about the new product range, will it make a big impact on the Canadian market? Alan?
I'm quite sure it will. We've got a really exciting new product here.
Betty?
It may well have a big impact, but only if we manage to get enough repeat customers.
Christian?
I doubt if it'll make that big an impact. Last year's figures suggest that Canada is becoming very slow sales-wise.
Diana?
It can't possibly have much impact, not after last year's consumer test.
Eric?
Well, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it made quite a big impact.
Were the sales forecasts for Canada encouraging? Alan?
They must have been encouraging. That's why CJ's so keen on Canada this season.
Betty?
Well, I had a quick look, and it seemed to me that they couldn't possibly have been encouraging.
Christian?
They may have been encouraging.
Diana?
It's quite possible they were encouraging. CJ didn't let me see them, though.
Eric?
I expect they were encouraging. CJ can't have made a mistake, can he, Mrs. Frost?
Ah, no. He couldn't possibly have made a mistake. I just wanted your views, that's all. Thanks, everyone.
That's all right, right, Mrs. Frost.
And that's the end of 10.4, Step A. Step C.
What do you think might happen in the business world in the next 20 years or so?
I think robots will replace production workers.
There'll be less need for transport, as people will work from home.
Well, business travel will be replaced by live video meetings. There won't be any need to go to see the client anymore.
In a few years' time, we'll all have video phones instead of ordinary phones. Everyone will be able to see the person they're calling.
Well, there won't be any people in offices. Well, there'll just be computers doing all the work.
Jobs will change so quickly that we'll have to retrain for new job skills every few years.
Offices won't use paper anymore. All communications will be electronic. Even letters and faxes will just be sent from screen to screen.
I don't know, there'll be much higher unemployment. I mean, half the working population may be out of work.
And that's the end of 10.4, Step C.